Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Better start to the NFL season last night. I'm still catching my breath. I'm still sitting here trying to figure out what the hell happened. Still wondering why Isaiah Likely didn't wear white cleats. Maybe that's what he should have done the rest of the time. Nick Ashew in for PJ Glasser. I'm not sure this is a regular Friday thing, a sometimes Friday thing. PJ and I will be together on Sunday, live from BetMGM National Harbor for way more NFL games. But if anything lives up to what we had last night on what we would still call Thursday Night Football, even though they don't brand it as Thursday Night Football, we're in for a great season in the NFL. And the hard part is you get into the early NFL season, right? Looking at props, looking at, you know, early sides and totals for week one, is we get to go by very few things. We get to go by what we saw last season. I'd say what we saw in the preseason, but I think you'd probably laugh if I say the phrase preseason and then try to take anything from that really and what it applies to in the regular season. But we can at least look back at now one game. We can look at the Ravens and we can look at the Chiefs, and it tells us a whole lot for this season. And I see two teams right now in the Ravens and Chiefs going in opposite directions. Now, I'm not going to sit here and write off the Ravens and say something crazy like, oh, they're not a playoff team. Oh, God, the Ravens are in big, big trouble. But I will say this about Baltimore. Lamar Jackson is going to be running for his life this year. Every single week, I'm taking the over on rushing yards for Lamar Jackson. Because if that offensive line, and Ronnie Staley specifically, is continuing to be called for illegal formations and then just allowing defensive lines to break through and get after Lamar, he's going to have to run for his life this entire season. Like, that's one of the biggest things that I saw, was this is not the same Ravens team offensively. Now, they're lucky because they at least have the advantage, right? They've got somebody in Lamar Jackson that can run, that can escape, that can use his legs, something they're going to have to encourage this year. But it may be a lot less in terms of design runs and a little bit more of just, oh my God, I'm desperate. I've got to get away so I don't get my head clocked. And let's also remember, Lamar lost weight. Remember he said he felt fat and slow last year? We looked fast last night. But there's also the worry of injuries there. So there's a lot to take away just from the turnover that you have on the Ravens' offensive line and what we saw last night. Now you go to the other side of things. Remember I said two teams going in the opposite direction. This is going to be a much, much better Kansas City team. Like, if we look back now, last season the conversation was, oh man, Patrick Mahomes has nobody to throw the ball to. I mean, he doesn't look like the same quarterback. You know, this offense just really isn't the same. I called that group of wide receivers that they had last year in Kansas City a bunch of walking brain farts, because that's kind of what they were, running wrong routes, lining up offsides, all of those things. That's not the same thing in Kansas City this year, like at all. Rashee Rice is clearly the number one. Receptions, yards, you're going to look at those props every single week, and you're going to say he's going to get the targets, he's going to get the looks. Travis Kelce will too, but I would expect to see the ball spread out a little bit more, where Kelsey's not even necessarily seeing the same amount of targets that we've seen in the past, right? The guy's pushing, what is he, 35, whatever it is. I can tell you something, when you hit your 30s and mid-30s, oh, things hurt more, recovery's harder. It's only going to be more difficult there. So if you're looking at where Kansas City is now offensively, it's Rashee Rice as their number one wide receiver without question. He's going to get those targets every single week. Patrick Mahomes is very, very comfortable in what he looks like as a number one wide receiver and what he can do. So that's going to be something I'm going to pay attention to every single week. And then, good God, Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy, look, I'm not going to call the guy Tyreek Hill. That'd be a little bit much. But they found their Tyreek Hill replacement, didn't they? How can you not look at what he did last night? First touch in a regular season NFL game goes for a touchdown. Right? Two touchdowns in that game. Fastest 40 time we've ever had recorded at the Combine. This is everything This is everything that Kansas City thought they were going to get in Sky Moore, except now it's better as Xavier Worthy. So, look, they're going to get Hollywood Brown back at some point, too. How can any team in the NFL not fear the Kansas City Chiefs? They won a Super Bowl last year with nobody at wide receiver except Rashee Rice starting to kind of figure it out in his rookie year towards the end of the season. But now you have Rashee Rice comfortable as a number one. You sit there and say, okay, now we've also got Xavier Worthy who can stretch the field as well as any player in the NFL. Maybe he's not even Tyreek Hill. But you know who he could be? DeSean Jackson, right? Kind of skinny, super fast, can get downfield in a blur. So if he's not Tyreek Hill, but he's DeSean Jackson, I mean, that's everything you could ask for if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. You add Hollywood Brown, who, yes, sometimes does have the drop skis, but it's not going to be as important for him to go out there and be a number one for them. Be a number three. Like, Kansas City is so damn good right now. They learned their lesson from last year when Patrick Mahomes, you could tell, was just furious with that receiving core by the end of the year. So you learn from that. You still win back-to-back Super Bowls, and now they have a chance to win three. How can you not look at the Kansas City Chiefs at this point? How can you not look at the Kansas City Chiefs and say they're going to win a third straight Super Bowl? Look, I get it. There's a lot of other really good teams in the NFL. But Kansas City can compete with anybody. We know they're not at their best till they get to the playoffs. And then on top of that, they've got the experience, having already won three Super Bowls and back-to-back Super Bowls at this point. Like, look, I love Detroit. I think the Lions have a ton of talent. But for the love of God, you know, at this point, I'm looking at them going, Kansas City could roll this season. I mean, it was eye-opening. One more thing in the props that I will say here. Isaiah Likely, we will never again, and I got it once, we'll never again get Isaiah Likely over 1.5 receptions ever again. Like, that number is going to skyrocket. We're not getting anything close to 1.5 receptions with Isaiah Likely. I'd even go as far as to say Isaiah Likely is now the number one tight end in Baltimore. Mark Andrews was lining up as a tackle. He's out there blocking. Like, he's not even somebody that was out there consistently getting the target. Isaiah Likely is the number one tight end in Baltimore now. And the NFL, right? It changes so quickly where you can be a star. Somebody else takes your job just based on injury, and it's not fair. Mark Andrews is going to get plenty of opportunities this year. There's a lot of teams in the NFL that work two tight end sets in there. So you're going to certainly have that in Baltimore this year. But you can't tell me after what you saw last night, Isaiah Likely is going to get the targets every single week. Now, the question obviously becomes, how is the market going to adjust? Are we going to see, you know, 2.5 receptions for Likely? Is that going to shoot to 3.5 next week? What's that going to look like? Is it going to drop down a little bit? You might want to hope, okay, next week it goes, skyrockets to 3.5, and then he doesn't get the targets. Then it drops back down, and then you jump back on that number in a week. But, I mean, Isaiah Likely is the number one tight end right now in Baltimore. And just watching the chemistry that he had with somebody like Lamar Jackson. We started to see that come on last year and then kind of move forward as, you know, this is the one thing that I hate, when technology does not work for you in the way that it's supposed to work. So we'll go with that, and then we'll move. Listen, that being said, look, you sit here, and yes, thank you, Sean. I am back. This is good. You know, here's what I love about this show. It's very casual, right? Like, it's just like, it's not like doing a solo radio show where I got to sit here, and it's like, you know what? something happens, we're just going to play up with him, man. We're just going to go. But no, I will say this. I did lose what was actually in the chat because I had to restart this. But B. Mills pointing out that the Saquon Barkley anytime touchdown. Yeah, I mean, like, the one thing, though, look at the market this year. The anytime touchdown market, the prices suck. Like, they're not good at all. I think Saquon, there's like a minus 115 that's out there. Thanks, it's back up there. Devonta Smith over in yards. Yes. Yes. Especially on a defense right now that, you know, look, going up against Green Bay, Devonta Smith, I feel like he gets forgotten because you have A.J. Brown there. The Eagles have two number one receivers. Plus Jahan Dotson for my Commanders, who of course couldn't work out, and then of course then they trade him to the Eagles. That's fine, you know. No big deal at all. I'm totally fine with all that. That's just great to watch that. But yes, listen, Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. Until otherwise, you just bet it every single week. Maybe even parlay it together. I don't know. The prices are terrible. That's the only thing about it. But you still would feel awful, even if it's just like Saquon at even money, or you're getting Jalen Hurts at minus 115. And, I mean, over the last 2 years, Jalen Hurts had 28 touchdowns, 28 rushing touchdowns. And Green Bay was the ninth worst team in the NFL in terms of rushing touchdowns allowed last year. So it's a great spot for Saquon. It's a great spot for Jalen Hurts, with both of those. And I understand that at some point you sit here and say, all right, I know it's kind of chalky, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I have no problem saying that I would jump right in on that too. In fact, that's one of my bets that I have tonight. I like the under 48.5 in this too, just because you got to keep in mind there's a lot of travel involved with this. Players are out of their kind of out of their routine, out of their comfort zone. And pro athletes really, really like to be in a position where they know what's coming next. Travel in general is a pain in the ass. We all know that, right? But international travel is even worse. And I get it. You're traveling a private jet, you're an NFL player, and it's all cushy. There's still a lot of travel. It's still not sleeping in your own bed, and it's still going to another country and getting way taken out of your routine. Plus, it's the first game of the year. I could see the under 48.5 hitting here. I like the Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown. Also, on top of Saquon Barkley, what B. Mills pointed out, I also like Saquon Barkley. The over on his receiving yards at 15.5 and over 84.5 rushing and receiving yards for him as well. I think Saquon's going to get really, really involved in this offense. They haven't had a running back that's this talented in Philadelphia. I know it's a different offense. Jalen Hurts has said it's about 95% different, which also makes me a little bit worried about that, Philadelphia maybe having some bumps in the road, I guess we could say, early, especially in this game. So another reason why I kind of lean under 48.5 in this. But Saquon's going to get a lot of touches. It's going to help them get a rhythm. They're going to move this thing forward. And then you're going to get to the point where you say, all right, now they've started to get everybody else involved with it too. But, I mean, it's Saquon, man. Saquon healthy behind this offensive line. It's going to be a lot different than what happened with the Giants. And we know exactly how good Saquon can be, and also how bad the Giants were. That was not a good team that he played for. One more real quick I'll throw out there before we get to Matt Horner. Jordan Love over 257.5 in terms of passing yards. I look at the defense and I look at the Packers as a whole, the team, and I'm not totally convinced yet, even with what they did last season, right? The 6-2 finish. You got to look at the quarterbacks they went up against. That was a gift from the football gods for the Green Bay Packers. But Jordan Love is legit. 18 touchdowns and one interception over that final half of the season. He's shown that he is a legit franchise quarterback in the NFL. But the rest of the Packers, I'm still a little bit worried about, just given the fact that they struggled to get into the playoffs towards the end there, and the matchups they had against quarterbacks, that's a real, real difference maker. All right, BetQL's Matt Horner jumps on with us now. I want to get your reaction first, buddy, to what happened last night in that game, because we could not have asked for a better start to the NFL season, not to mention a lot of controversy on top of that. What'd you take away from last night?
Yeah, howdy there, Nick. Honestly, I loved it because I cashed my parlay. I had the Chiefs on the money line and the Ravens plus 10 as a parlay. Plus 158, I gave that out on X. It's pretty much what the books really needed. I mean, they had some liability there on the Ravens at plus money, around like plus 125 or so, like 60% of the wager. So right there, that told me Chiefs are probably going to win this game. Anytime the book has liability on plus money like that, I love to go the opposite side. So I like the Chiefs. But on the other side, they also had some liability on the Chiefs spread. So I thought it was going to be a close game, and that's why I took what I did at plus 158. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. We all know this. Patrick Mahomes, anytime he is under a field goal, it's like you almost kind of have to bet them to win, right? I mean, he's just so good. A generational player, a generational talent. Lamar Jackson keeps proving time and time again he can't beat the Chiefs. What is he now, 1-5 or something like that against Kansas City? So, yeah, that's my overall takeaway from this game. The Chiefs are great. Ravens are probably going to be a playoff team, but Kansas City is still just on another level.
You know, it's funny. Beef VZ on Twitch just said, is there a bet for the amount of penalties called in game one? I mean, week by week, we may want to expect more of this. So the NFL has said that they're going to make it a priority to call illegal formations this year. The problem was the Ravens were made an example. Five called on the Ravens, none called on the Chiefs, which obviously they were not happy about that after the game. But when I look at the Ravens right now on that offensive line, Matt, I'm telling you what. I'm concerned. I'm concerned for the health and safety of Lamar Jackson. I'm concerned for the rhythm of that offense. I mean, clearly, Zay Flowers is going to get the targets. We saw that last night. We saw that Isaiah Likely is going to get those targets. And they're going to run the ball a lot as well with Derrick Henry. Also, Justice Hill receptions. That was like the I hope that stays at 2.5. I mean, it was 1.5 last night. I actually parlayed over 1.5 receptions for both Isaiah Likely and Justice Hill last night. That thing hit by halftime. I was ecstatic. I love those low reception numbers. They're not going to stay that way the entire year. But when I look at that Ravens offensive line, I mean, defensively, the turnover for them is one thing. They're great at drafting defensive players. I'm not really worried about the Ravens defensively as much as I am with that offensive line and Lamar Jackson just having to run for his life this entire year.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's a young offensive line. They've kind of retooled there. Yeah, Jackson, as you know, injury history, he's had some problems with that. If they lose him, then they might be sunk, honestly, for this season. I'm not, you know, I was, you know, hammering Lamar there a little bit in that last little segment I was giving, but he's still a great quarterback. I mean, he's still the lifeblood of the team. They absolutely need him. They need his rushing ability. But that offensive line, definitely questionable with how young those guys are.
All right, so let's look at the game tonight. Obviously, it's in Brazil. This is going to kind of, you know, be a little bit different, like I mentioned before, right? I like the under in this game just because of the fact that we're starting off the season. Still, you got some new coordinators on both sides. It's not really like some like profound handicap that I've got here. It's new, and also players taken out of their rhythm on top of that. Where are you, and what do you like in tonight's game?
Yeah, so I'm taking a look at some of the numbers here from our friends over at BetMGM. You got 58% of the bets and 53% of the handle on that under at 49. So a lot of people loving the under in this game. I may be tempted to play the over, honestly, at 48.5. It could be a higher scoring game. I'm not a really big fan of the Eagles defense. The Packers offense, I think, can once again be great. Eagles offense as well. Very high on the Eagles this year offensively. Jalen Hurts, I think he's going to have a comeback year, I guess you would say. Last year, people were kind of down on them in that offense, but I think they can certainly light up a scoreboard. And honestly, I might take the Packers, though. It could be a shootout. You're taking a look at the handle. Everybody loves the Eagles on the spread. 72% of the bets and 77% of the handle are on the Eagles at -2. So that tells you right there that the Packers could keep this close. But if you take a look at the money line on the other side, a lot of wagers being put on the Packers to upset this game. So this is telling me we could see a lot, kind of like we did last night. We could see the Eagles win this game, but the Packers to keep it close. So if you can get a +3 here on the Packers, I like that. Eagles money line, though, might be the play. And I might go with the over here. And an anytime touchdown parlay. You were talking about how these parlays are so juiced. Or not the parlays, but the actual touchdown props are so juiced. Christian Watson, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, anytime touchdown parlay. I really like that, quite honestly.
I do have a Christian Watson anytime touchdown, too, so I did jump in on that. But again, even that's like +180, you know, so you're sitting there going, there's all the value that we used to have on some of these. There is a little bit of a I have seen out there, I think you can get like 2 touchdowns for Christian Watson at like 17-1. I mean, one thing we know is Jordan Love loves Christian Watson. So if there was ever somebody to start the season out with a couple of touchdowns, and he does it in bunches, that might be a situation if you're looking for like a real long shot there. But some of these prices, it's like we're not getting the same value that we used to. Season long for these two teams, because obviously the Packers, we know how they finished last year, right? 6-2. Everybody knows how the Eagles finished last year. Complete and utter dumpster fire. Out of the Eagles and Packers, which team do you trust season long the most?
Honestly, I'm really high on the Eagles this year. A lot of people are low on them. Just like you said, last year they were kind of a dumpster fire. People were not trusting Nick Sirianni now or Jalen Hurts and stuff like that. So people don't tend to really like the Eagles coming into this year, but I'm pretty high on them. Like I just said, I think Hurts is going to have sort of a comeback season here. This offense is loaded with talent. I put a little sprinkle down on them to win the NFC East. I really like that, honestly, because the rest of this division, the NFC East, I don't like the Cowboys this year. I think they're going to regress. Washington as a rookie quarterback and the Giants are the Giants. I definitely love the Eagles in the division. Then you take a look at their Super Bowl futures as well. You know, getting them somewhere around 14-1 or so. I don't think that's a bad wager at all there with this talented offense. So I like the Eagles quite a bit. The Packers are a good team. I'm not going to say they're not, but the Eagles, I really think they can win it all this year.
You and I, sir, are in the minority from what I'm hearing. A lot of people still down on the Eagles after what happened last year, and I keep trying to point out new coordinators on both sides. They addressed needs in the secondary, in the draft, in the offseason. Now, whether that clicks right away in a Vic Fangio defense remains to be seen, but they've at least taken the right steps, and I hate to say it as a Commanders fan, Howie Roseman's really, really good at his job. Like, really, really good at his job. All right, before I let you go, your favorite plays for this weekend, for specifically this Sunday, but obviously if you've got anything else, throw it out there.
Right, yeah. So I'm actually going to go with the Rams here. Everybody loves the Detroit Lions going into Sunday night. I mean, taking a look at this handle over at BetMGM, 75% of the tickets and 74% of the handle are on the Lions on the spread here. Yeah, that is going to be some serious liability there. And if you take a look at the money line as well, 70% of the tickets and 81% of the money on the Detroit Lions on the money line to win this game. And whenever the public is loving a team that bad in a primetime game, you absolutely know that I am going to be on the opposite side. So give me the Rams here, +4.5. I'll be sprinkling them to win the game as well. Look, the Rams competed last year in this same scenario. They almost beat the Lions. They were so close to beating the Lions last year. And I think they certainly can here. The public trusts the Lions too much. I'm high on the Lions. Love their offensive line. Love their offense as well. But the Rams are a sneaky team that I also think is going to be really good this year. So give me the Rams here. I really like them.
You know, as Peach always says, loves people, hate the public. And that's exactly the way that you go. Listen, I love the Lions, too. You and I are aligned on a lot of things, man. I'm also high on the Rams again this year. I took the over 6.5 on their win total last year, which was like one of the easiest bets. God, it was like the easiest bet ever. So, you know, I think the Rams could be in a very similar position again this year. Great stuff, Matt. Glad to have you on, man.
Sure. Thanks, Nick.
You know, something else in that game, too, that I really love, Puka Nacua. I know I'm not really going out on a limb necessarily here, but over 70.5 receiving yards for him. It's funny. If you look at the Lions and Rams, we're in kind of a similar position of where we were with, the Chiefs and Ravens last night. We don't have a ton, we have no examples of what these teams are going to look like this year, but a lot of the cores are still together for. The same thing with the Rams and the Lions, right? You make your additions, you get some of the other pieces in that you need. Whatever the case is, things change. There's turnover in the NFL, but you can go back and at least get an idea of what those two teams looked like when they saw each other in the playoffs last year. And I think that's at least a good start to have. That's a good position to be in. And Puka Nacua went off against the Lions and that terrible secondary. By the way, Aaron Glenn, remember that's the defensive coordinator in Detroit. They got absolutely roasted by the Rams, and that, you know, their defense did, and yet he was getting job interview after job interview, and I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, did nobody else watch this? Did nobody else see how bad the Lions looked, at least in their secondary? So the question obviously is, with some of the changes that Detroit has made, are they going to look better this year, specifically in that secondary? But Puka Nacua is, if not already, this close to becoming the true number one wide receiver for the Rams. Now, I love Cooper Kupp. I was actually talking to a friend last night. We were watching the game. He was like, you know, at this point, is Puka Nacua the number one receiver? And I think it's a simple question to ask. And honestly, I think the answer is yes. And I love Cooper Kupp. I think his story's great. I think the way that he burst onto the scene and became this great offensive player, the offensive player, we know that, the reality of it is injuries will take away some of the speed or explosiveness that a player can have when they start hitting their 30s. And I can tell you this, man, recovering your 30s, it's a lot harder than your 20s, all the ways around. So it doesn't mean that Cooper Kupp can't be a 1,000-yard receiver again. It just means that Puka Nacua is younger, maybe a little bit faster, a little more explosive, and given the fact that Cooper Kupp has missed a bunch of time, there's a lot of chemistry that's been developed between Puka and Matt Stafford. But really, if you're the Rams, you're in a great spot, because if Cooper Kupp is healthy, even if he's your number two, that's a pretty damn good number two there. So, you know, I sit there and look at the over on receiving yards and say, yeah, I think that's a pretty good spot. That's a pretty good spot there for him. I do like the Panthers to cover against the Saints. And you say, Nick, did you watch the Panthers last year? Yes, I did. but it was hard sometimes because if you were watching just Red Zone Channel, they never showed up because they couldn't get past the 50-yard line. But it's different this year. Dave Canales has shown that in, you know, with Geno Smith in Seattle, his time there, his 1 year with Baker Mayfield, he gets the most out of quarterbacks. And when you don't have any film right now on anything that the Panthers offense is going to look like with Bryce Young out there, they've obviously also added some weapons at wide receiver, and they've gone out and addressed the offensive line. They were aggressive enough this offseason that tells me that the floor, the rock bottom for Carolina has already been hit, and that was last season. So if you're the Saints, a team that is good defensively, you don't really know what you're going to get from this Panthers offense week one. So taking the Panthers at least to cover in that game, I think, is a really, really good spot to be in, because week one is when a lot of dogs come in, right? Dogs, a great bet week one, because they surprise a lot of teams. That's what makes the NFL so great. I think the Panthers are one of those teams. And then another upset that I like too, Titans. Titans plus 4.5. Right? I've ripped the Titans on this network time and time again. But the reality of it is they do have multiple guys that at least Will Levis can throw the ball to. Now, he's boom or bust, but they went out and addressed that secondary. Multiple big names now in that secondary. And you've got an offense in Brian Callahan in Tennessee that's good. They're going to want to take advantage of Will Levis's arm. They're going to want to put the ball downfield. And even if you go back and look at, you know, where the Bears were last year as a pass rushing team, right? Getting to the quarterback. Even when Montez Sweat was on the Bears roster, 24th in pressure rate last year for Chicago. So if you're going to give time to Will Levis, that's going to give him an opportunity to let those receivers get downfield. Brian Callahan's going to want to be aggressive. He's going to want to get it to those big receivers that you know that you can just throw it up to and say, F it, they're down there somewhere, right? Actually, technically, guys, can I say that word on here? Because this is only streaming. Sean, you let me know, because that would be a lot of fun. I won't, but I'll just thinking about that for a second here. No, but it's like, you know, you look at the Titans and say that's another team that could sneak up on a... Look, I like the Bears. I think the Bears are a good team. But the Chicago Bears also have a lot of expectations, a lot of new pieces on that offense, and a rookie quarterback, where there is a chance that, let's just say, they're not as explosive and not as dominant as some people maybe think that they could be. It's another sneaky opportunity with the Panthers plus 4 against the Saints, Titans plus 4.5 against the Bears. I think there's some solid, solid opportunities there. A couple of plays that I do want to throw out in college football, too. Look, I know Michigan doesn't have really the most important pieces that they had to win their national championship last year. Coach is gone, quarterback's gone, running back's gone, like all that. But Texas's defensive line, it was bad. It was bad against Colorado State. Like, that's their biggest question, is that run defense. Texas's interior defensive line right now, if you're in a position here where you can just run the hell out of the football, if you're Michigan, like you already obviously did last year under Jim Harbaugh, that's really a chance where you can sneak in and cover that 7. I did parlay a couple of alternate lines and get a Michigan at plus 10.5, kind of bought the extra points, put that in there, and then, you know, parlayed that thing up. But I think there's Michigan is a team that could get in there and take advantage of that interior defense that's not strong right now for Texas. Also, Oregon over 40.5 for their team total, because we saw nothing from Oregon's offense last week. Consider that a preseason game. That was a preseason game, and Boise State, their defense struggled to just get Georgia Southern off the field. Now, Boise State's going to want to run the football. They got one of the best running backs in college football. But if they're not going to be able to necessarily compete with what Oregon's going to do offensively. Dan Lanning basically said, we're going to keep this vanilla. We're going to keep this thing simple. We're not really going to do much. I don't want anything on film for future opponents. And Boise State gave up 15 first downs to Georgia Southern through the air. Give me the over 40.5 on a team total for Oregon, because that offense is going to look a whole lot better when it's all said and done. All right. I know one of the things PJ does on this show is that he likes to give out a guy to hit record a hit every single week. The one thing I've decided I'm doing is I'm boycotting baseball. Football has started, and I had to suffer through the summer betting baseball all summer long, and I'm done with it. So here's what I'm going to do. Anytime I'm on this show, I am boycotting baseball until we get to the playoffs. And you can be mad at me if you want. But I have to. I'm done. It's so damn frustrating to bet on that sport. But also, I will say the hit parlays were decent this summer. But that being said, all right, my prop lock this week, Saquon Barkley over 15.5 receiving yards. Going to get a lot of opportunities out of the backfield for them. I think that's something where you're really going to look and see Saquon get involved early, obviously both as a rusher and a pass catcher. But little dump offs, get that offense flowing. My dog of the day, Titans plus 4.5. Love the Titans this weekend against the Bears. They can really sneak up on Chicago week one. And then on top of that, my best bet. Oh, God. Giants under 20.5. Can you just think of Daniel Jones right now going up against that Brian Flores Minnesota defense? Now, you could just take the Giants could still win this game because you've also got Sam Darnold on the other side of things. But if you're looking at that Giants team right now and Daniel Jones getting back out there, having not played for most of last season, and then having, terrible against the blitz, and then having on top of that Brian Flores loving to dial up the blitz, oh, it could be a really, really ugly day for the Giants offense. And on top of that, it could also be really ugly for, well, just specifically Daniel Jones. All right, half an hour throws goes really fast, by the way. I'm used to doing 4 hours. This is nice. PJ will be back on Monday. Good luck with your bets this weekend. PJ and I also will be on Sunday on the BetQL Network. I'm Nick Ashew.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.